Well, this is the first Sunday of the new year. And what that generally means around here is that we have a conversation. We talk about the questions, why are we here? And where are we going? And how do you fit in? In other words, we try to lay out what we as a church family believe is the plan for the coming months together. In fact, that is the message I prepared on Monday for our time together today. Well, the Lord had different plans. How dare he? The Lord had different plans, and with the weather that was predicted both for today and the next several days, we had a strategic decision to make about exactly what to do. And I hope you pray for your pastors. I hope you pray for us for all sorts of reasons. And one of them is that God would give us wisdom to make just the myriad decisions that we have to make in a given day and a given week. And what we had to decide for this morning was, well, should we just cancel everything for today? That was one option, of course. The other option was just to have the normal slate of services and have the normal message that we were planning to have, or to try to strike some sort of happy medium. Well, as you know, we decided the latter. We decided to have our services at 9:30, both here and over at Faith West, simultaneously, and then just to make sure that we had this presentation available on the internet for anybody who preferred to join us there. So wherever you are participating today, I want you to know I'm very glad that you're here. And I'm glad that we have the kind of technology now that makes it possible for us to make these services available to anybody wherever they are. In fact, honestly, as I was hearing these reports, I've been out of town this week, and as I came back and started hearing some of this, I had already decided one way or another, I'm going to talk to our church family. And so if I could have found one tech guy, even if we had to cancel everything else, if I could find one tech guy who could get over here, I was going to give a sermon to myself and then just throw it out on the internet and see what happened. I even thought about what would happen if the weather was so bad that you couldn't even find one tech guy who could make it in. Is it possible to have a video selfie? I was wondering about that. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I'm just so glad. So if you're here, if you're at Faith West, if you're at home, church in your jammies, whatever, I'm just glad that you're here. Now, we also had to decide, well, surely we're going to have a smaller number of persons in whatever venue we're talking about. So maybe it would be wise for us to set aside this discussion on why are we here, where are we going, and how do you fit in? Because we want to be sure when we give that everybody from the church family is participating in that. And so we decided to set that aside for a couple of weeks. So what you have in your program is not going to match what we have here on the PowerPoint. But I just thought, well, pretty obvious, regardless of what we're talking about, that in the back of the minds of many people listening to this, you're going to be thinking about the weather. So why not just bring that up to the front of our minds? So this morning, I want to talk to you about lessons from God's spectacular creative hand. With that in mind, open your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19, that's on page 399. Of the front section of the Bible under the chair in front of you. So Psalm chapter 19, or page 399 of the front section of the Bible under the chair in front of you. And I just want to thank all the people who made this service possible today. Again, I thank our sound and tech guys for making this possible. I thank Scott Flora, Dave Arthur, all of our maintenance people, and everybody who served along with them to have the parking lots and the sidewalks ready for ministry this morning. And then Heather Smith, I just prepared this last night is when I finished, which is very unusual for me, and then she had to transfer this into a PowerPoint, so I appreciate everybody working behind the scenes. You know, sometimes the Lord gives you a special opportunity to serve Him, and I appreciate being around people who do whatever is necessary in order to make that happen. Perhaps it would be best for us to start this morning by a quote from one of Job's counselors. Now, that can always be a dicey proposition, because just because somebody said something and it's recorded in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean that what that person said was true. But in this case, I think we would agree with this theologically, where we read Job 37:5, God thunders with His voice wondrously, doing great things which we cannot comprehend. For to the snow He says, say it with me, fall on the earth, and to the downpour and the rain. Be strong. He seals the hand of every man that all men may know his work. Well, that pretty much sums up this day, huh? God thundering his voice wondrously, doing great things that we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth. This morning, I want us to think about what we're about to experience together in the next few days through the lens of this great psalm, Psalm 19, where David says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. The day-to-day pours forth speech, and night-to-night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. And their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now, watch the flow. Watch the change in the logic. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Then a final transition in the logic, verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Think about the next couple of days. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me, that I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Here it is, great theme for the next few days. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What a great passage of Scripture, huh? And what lessons can we learn from this unusual weather we are enjoying together? Three lessons from a really cold weekend. Here's the first one. This weather reminds us of God's creative glory. Theologians refer to creation as part of God's general revelation of himself. You heard that term before? General revelation? What does it mean? Well, it's general for two reasons. One, because it gives us some information about God, but not everything there is to know. And secondly, because it's given to everyone. So the reason theologians call general revelation, is because of both its nature and also because of its audience. And what these verses are telling us is general revelation is intended to help us understand the presence and the power of God. Which is why verse 1 says, depending on the version you have before you, something like, the heavens declare the glory of God, or the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And I would encourage you to note carefully the emphasis of those two words in the Bible. That general revelation, his creation, his heavens, it declares something to you. It proclaims something about our God, who among us has not gone out on a starry night and gazed up in the sky and been amazed at the beauty and wonder of God's creation? Are there times when the sun is setting or the leaves are dazzling? It just takes your breath away, doesn't it? And you have a private moment of worship wherever you happen to be at the time, because God's glory and his wonder is on display marvelously, assuming you want it to be. Assuming you want it to be. Seeing God in his created glory is a choice you make in your heart. And it's a response to his grace working in your life. Elizabeth Barrett Browning said it this way in her poem, earth crammed with heaven, there it is, and every common bush or snowstorm afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round and pluck blackberries. Yep. So if we allow our hearts to be open, we can be reminded, especially in the next few days, of the power and the presence of our God. Now, we can't choose instead to sit around and complain about something we don't like, or fret because our plans may be changed, or focus on how all of this may be impacting us or inconveniencing us. In other words, if we want to, we can choose to sit around and pluck blackberries, or we can use these special circumstances to see how earth is crammed with heaven, and how every common snowstorm, or even every uncommon one, is a fire with God. Friends, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. And as expanse, their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Then David explains, God in his grace makes this revelation available to everyone. God is displaying his grace right now to everyone. Do you realize that? He says that in Psalm 19, 2 and 3. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. And by the way, if you're following the logic carefully here, you might say, I'm not sure I understand that last part of the verse and how that fits into the argument. You'll have to decide what you think about this, but I tend to agree with the English Standard Version, which translates the last part of that verse. There is no speech, nor are there words. Whose voice is not heard? That's really the point of that, and that certainly fits the argument that's developed in verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. In other words, God in his grace makes this general revelation available to everybody. Everybody right now is talking about the weather, which is why there's no taters at Meijer. Yeah, I was reading an article yesterday that claimed that nearly half of our country's population will experience temperatures below zero in the next few days. That surprised me, but I read it on the internet. It has to be true. But half of the, that's what, on CNN even.
Whoa.
But if that's anywhere near close, that is an incredible statistic when you think about it. Half of our nation's population is about to experience below zero temperatures. And friends, listen, that has a way of putting mankind in our place, if we let it. Perhaps you've been following this incredible story about the ice-breaking ships in Antarctica, at least the so-called ice-breaking ships in Antarctica. If it was a VeggieTales song, it would be the icebreakers who don't do anything. But if you think you have cold weather problems, think about these guys. It started with, and I'm not making this up, okay? And I'm not mocking anybody out, and I'm not making a comment about global warming. I'm about to leave town again. I don't need any emails about that, all right? But here, I'm just telling you what happened. It started out with a group of Russian scientists, journalists, tourists, and crew members studying global warming. Yeah, on that ship, that's the Adkamek Shalisky. Okay, that's the closest I can say, but that's a pretty good rendering of that language right there. But anyway, that is that ship, an icebreaker, which got stuck in the ice, which I would think is a bit embarrassing, or at least somewhat ironic when you're on an ice-breaking ship studying the effects of global warming and you get stuck in the ice. But that's what happened. So the Chinese government, and this was an act of mercy for sure, they got involved by sending the Zulong, which is another ice-breaking ship, to rescue the people stranded on the Russian vessel. And so that ship actually had this big helicopter, and so what they did, they got close enough to the Russian ship with their helicopter that they were able to rescue anybody from the Russian ship that wanted to be taken off, and they got safely back to the Zulong. Until the Zulong got stuck in the ice. Now, imagine you're one of those scientists or tourists on what is now your second icebreaker stuck in the ice. It's like, really? Really? Next year, let's study the effects of global cooling in Bermuda. I mean, what are we thinking? So, and I don't understand how they fit into this, but the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, You might not have known there ever was one of those, but the Australians got involved through their Maritime Safety Authority, and they have now asked the United States Coast Guard to send one of our icebreakers, the Polar Star. You say, I didn't even know we had one. Oh, we do. There it is right there. And you will be happy to know that the Polar Star just underwent a $90 million overhaul. I didn't say the ship cost $90 million. Don't be silly. You could afford that for $90 million. I'm saying it cost $90 million to overhaul that baby recently of your tax dollars. That's some pretty expensive paint. But anyway, that's what the Polar Star just cost to overhaul. And as an aside, I'm thinking that there's probably going to be a couple of icebreakers available on eBay pretty soon with an ad that reads something like, icebreakers available really cheap, but you have to transport them from Antarctica. Bring your own ice pick. But here's the point, other than me just having a little fun. Friends, the heavens declare the glory of God. And if we allow it to, we can be reminded in the next few days of the incredible power of our God and the world he created. By the way, if you get snowed in just by chance, and somebody told me right before the service that the predictions for the snow went up this morning from 6 to 8 inches to now 12. Hey, isn't that great? I like to count it by the foot, don't you? But anyway, if you get snowed in the next couple of days, you might want to use that time to read the tale of another great polar expedition led by Ernest Shackleton. It is a fascinating story. He, too, led an expedition to the South Pole. On his ship was made out of wood. Yeah, wood. That is their ship, the Endurance, which also got stuck in the ice. And they lived on that ship for a period of time. And they tell the unbelievable story of the ice slowly crushing their ship to pieces. It eventually looked like that after it was crushed by the ice and they had to abandon ship in Antarctica. What's amazing is that Shackleton survived and he was able to orchestrate the eventual rescue of his crew over a year later. One of the artifacts that survived that expedition was Shackleton's Bible. Shackleton was homeschooled. Shackleton was raised in a Christian home. And Shackleton said his favorite Bible verse was Job 38:29. And by the way, this isn't Elihu speaking anymore. You know who spoke Job 38:29? God himself, who said, from whose womb has come the ice? And the frost of heaven, who has given it birth? Can you imagine Shackleton and his crew listening to the ice crush what appeared to be their only means of survival and standing in awe of the God of creation? And the point of all this is, if we'll let it, the power of God's creation has a way of glorifying him and simultaneously putting mankind in our proper place. I mentioned I've been in airports the last couple of days myself, which turned out to be a really interesting time to fly. Just getting to the airport down to Indy Thursday morning was a fascinating challenge. You know, it's really nice they've widened I-65 down there in Indianapolis to like 5 lanes. You know the problem with that? When somebody has to plow those babies. And so it was really fascinating even getting down to the airport Thursday morning and then walking into these airports over the last couple of days and seeing the word canceled on flight after flight after flight on the departure board. And man can devise all the technology he wants and all the aerospace engineering and all the computer systems, and we're all very thankful for all of that. But this week proved, yet again, it is no match against the frost of heaven and he who has given it birth. And friends, when that happens, it's a sign of God's grace. Do you realize that? What is occurring right now is a sign of God's grace. It's a sign of his general revelation of himself to man, of the heavens declaring the glory of God. And wise is the person who marvels at the declaration instead of sitting around plucking blackberries. Now, let's also put this in context seasonally. Remember that the Creator is the one whose birth we just celebrated. Friends, do you realize that the gospel is all over this weather story as well? John tells us this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Paul made a similar point to the Colossians about Jesus Christ when he said, "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things," and what? In Him, all things hold together every day. Think about the power of our Creator that can lock an ice-breaking ship, the greatest technological marvel that man can possibly devise, and it can lock it in, or that can take a ship like the Endurance and Shackleton and its crew and slowly just crush it to pieces. Think about the power of our Creator on clear declaration, clearly being displayed. And that powerful Creator was willing to be born in a manger and then hang on a cross for our salvation. That means that the powerful weather over the coming days should even increase our amazement of the gospel. There's also an attendant warning to all of this. Friends, God's wrath is reserved for those who suppress this truth. And I would be less than a pastor if I did not say that to every person willing to listen. So if you're saying, why in the world would you come over here in your Jeep by yourself if necessary, that's one of the reasons why. Because this is an opportunity for us to think about weather biblically. God's wrath is reserved for those who suppress this truth. And I recognize there are plenty of people who scoff at the idea that the world was created by God or that there are any lessons from the events that are unfolding in these next few days. Here's what the Scripture would say about that, and I would encourage you to listen very carefully to what God's Word says at this point. It's Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who," hear this, "suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And I do not make this statement with any degree of joy or superiority at all, but as a pastor, I have to say this: there is probably no passage of Scripture that describes much of what is occurring in our culture right now more clearly than those verses. Man in his rebellion has suppressed the truth of God he has been given. Now, where does David leave us then? Because I realize you still might say, I still don't like this weather. And I'm not sure how to handle this weather. Well, friend, that's very important to note. In Psalm 19, David did not leave us at the foot of general revelation as if that was the final say. Because to what does he turn our attention next? Special revelation. In this case, the Word of God. Now, I think a snowstorm is a good time to quote from the Belgic Confession of Faith, don't you? In fact, I assume you woke up this morning and looked at your wife and said, "Ethel, Ethel, we're about to have a snowstorm. Get out the Belgic confession. Is that what you said? Okay. Two cups of coffee this morning. Here's the Belgic confession. We know him, God, by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book. Fascinating to think about it that way, by the way. Wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters, leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God, even his everlasting power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:20. All which things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. Second, here it is. He makes himself more clearly and fully known to us by his holy and divine word. That is to say, as far as is necessary for us to know in this life to his glory and our salvation. That is exactly what David does in Psalm 19. And the point is, we need special revelation. We need God's word and we need God's son to help us interpret and respond to the challenges of creation. See, these two subjects are connected in the passage for a reason. And I think it's a reason that can be especially helpful to us in the next few days. See, what is it about the Word of God that can give us confidence, that can give us direction, that can give us hope, regardless of how high the snow totals go and how low the wind chills go down? What does it say about the nature of the Word? Well, God's Word is perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure, it's clean, it's true. In other words, the Word of God is a sufficient guide to help us think about and respond to what is happening in God's creation. I love what theologian Albert Barnes said about this passage. He said the meaning of perfect, the law of the Lord is perfect. This transition from general revelation to special. The meaning of perfect is that Scripture lacks nothing for its completeness, nothing in order that it might be what it should be. It is complete as a revelation of divine truth. It is complete as a rule of conduct. It is absolutely true. It is adapted with consummate wisdom to the needs of man. It is an unerring guide of conduct, even during a snowstorm. There is nothing there which would lead men into error or sin. There is nothing essential for man to know which may not be found there. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, what does David say about then the effect of the word? According to the scripture, it has the ability to revive our souls. We do not have to be depressed, friends. We don't have to be disheartened during times like this. It makes wise the simple, which means we can respond to however low the temperatures go in a way that is biblically wise. And you might say, well, Pastor Byers, how do I avoid eating blackberries the next few days? Well, one answer would be to get out your Bible along with an electronic concordance and look up all the references of God as our creator or of the creation or the heavens and let special revelation help you interpret general revelation. It can make wise the simple. The Word of God also, according to David, rejoices the heart. You understand, for some people, this weather has been more than a minor inconvenience. And yet, somehow, they're still able to rejoice, like Seth and Darla Curtis and their family. You understand that Seth is one of our missionaries, he and his family, to the Congo, which is a very dangerous place to serve. You understand that Seth is our worship pastor Titus's brother. And so Seth and Darla and their family have been longtime missionaries for our church, and we're so glad that we get to support their work in the Congo. Seth and Darla and their family have been back here in the United States because of the funeral of Seth and Titus's father, Roger. And so by God's grace, and I thank you for your generous giving, which makes it possible for us in a situation like that to say, look, forget the cost of the tickets, get home as fast as you can, spend as much time with Roger as possible, and they were able to do that. And then Roger died, and they've just gone through the memorial service around Christmas time for Roger. And after spending that kind of time with their family and being sure that everything was where it needed to be, they started heading back for the Congo. And an international flight like that is challenging anyway. And then you add four children to the mix of a long international flight, and that really ups the potential tension level to all of that. And then you throw in a snowstorm. They were supposed to fly through, I believe, New York. They somehow ended up in Atlanta, and I may have some of the details wrong, but I know this. They were getting bounced all over the place after all the trials and the struggles that they have been through with their family, just trying to get back to the mission field. Yet, does that mean they're depressed? Does that mean they're cursing the weather? Does that mean that they've just given up? No, what they're doing is posting jokes on Facebook about the travels. Like, this is the one that really made me laugh yesterday. It popped up from Darla, who said, "Gotta love being the mom of the kid who throws up in the airline queue." You almost need scratch and sniff for that illustration, don't you? You know? But the point is, when you have the Son of God in your heart and the Word of God in your hand, you can respond to trials with a revived heart and with biblical wisdom and with God-given joy that shows that you've submitted yourself to the sovereign plan of your Creator God. Scripture also enlightens the eyes. When we choose to look at the events of general revelation through the lens of special revelation, God's Word can enlighten the eyes. And one of the ways that's true is that then we can take our gaze off of ourselves and place them on the needs of others during the next few days. So that's why later on today, there are going to be teams of people who are going to be fanning out around the neighborhoods, around both of our campuses, and just offering to shovel snow for senior citizens or single moms or anybody who might have a need. And as the temperatures plummet, we understand that we're going to have to be very careful about that. We don't want to endanger anybody physically. But if you would like to participate in that, talk to Pastor Johnny Kajir, or talk to one of our pastoral interns, Matt Hall. They're leading that particular aspect of the ministry. You say, why in the world would they do that? The answer is because they're letting the law of the Lord enlighten their eyes. And we're not going to sit around and grump about the weather. We're going to have an evangelistic heart regarding the weather. We're going to ask ourselves, what are the opportunities that our sovereign Creator God is giving us to show love to our neighbors? And we are going to seize them with all of our might. And what helps a person think about life in that lens is when they're letting Scripture be their guide. It enlightens the eyes. We also are preparing to open our community centers on both Faith East and Faith West in case we need to be a shelter. Imagine your furnace goes out in this kind of weather. Or imagine your car clonks out on I-65, or who knows? I mean, who knows what kind of trouble people in our community are going to have over these are historic lows. Well, what do we want to do? Sit around and grump? Yeah, where are you, God? He's on his throne. And it's giving us an opportunity to communicate our love for those around us, perhaps in a very unique kind of way. And if you would like to participate in that here on the east side, if you'd like to help us with all that's going to be involved in making those shelters available, talk to Pastor Andre Ballard. If you'd like to help on the west side, talk to Pastor Josh Greiner and make yourself available for those kind of serving opportunities over the next couple of days. Or just looking for opportunities with your neighbors. You may notice on the bulletin that you were handed, we didn't. I'm crazy enough to ask Heather to redo the PowerPoint. I'm not crazy enough to say, hey, let's do a new bulletin too. So you have the bulletin with our annual theme that, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks, loving our neighbors. What a great opportunity to jump into that, huh? I mean, it's what, January 5th, and we already have some marvelous opportunities just by going over and helping your neighbor shovel. Or as was said in this service, Dustin, hankering. If you're in the Faith East service, when's the last time you heard the word hankering? But anyway, if your neighbor has a hankering for a potato, I wouldn't knock on my neighbor's door and say, hey, you got a hankering for a tater? anyway. Okay, it was three cups of coffee. But anyway. What a great opportunity to just check on your neighbors and see if there's any way. And see, what is it that helps us think about life that way? You didn't come up with that on your own. You didn't come up thinking about you didn't come out of your mama's womb thinking about anybody but yourself. Remember how selfish you were? Wee, 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 every time your bottom was wet. I mean, you were so self-centered, it was unbelievable. I know, your mom's told me. But then you trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You have the Son in your heart and His Word in your hand. But now you can let Scripture enlighten your eyes. The argument goes on in verse 9. It endures forever. It is righteous altogether. And because that's true, David talks about the value of the word. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We have a group of young people from Faith Christian School who are on their way to the Dominican Republic. In fact, by God's grace, they're there, but they too were caught up in all those flight cancellations. They did go through New York City, and they got involved in all of that. Well, think about all the parents who have faithfully taught those young people the Word of God, and all of their Sunday school teachers, and all their youth workers and Christian school teachers who have faithfully taught those young people the Word. To what end? To what end? So that they could be prepared to handle the challenges of life, some if not many, involving some aspect of God's creation. And when you let the heavens declare the glory of God, and then you marvel at that declaration instead of curse it or be depressed by it. So the goal of all of this is thinking biblically about the weather in a way that draws us closer to the sun. And our Creator died and rose again so that we could handle these challenges victoriously. Now, it's important for us to note the way this psalm ends. In a way that is practically and specifically introspective, I think we could say it like this: the weather, viewed through the lens of Scripture, can lead us to repentance. How's that for a great way to spend a snowstorm? This weather, viewed through the lens of Scripture, can lead us to repentance. Because David said, "Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I'll be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Well, how could the word of God's special revelation lead us to repentance during a winter storm, general revelation, and thereby help us become more like Christ? Here's a couple of answers to that question. One is to teach us the importance of learning contentment. Do you realize, compared to the rest of the world, you and I are extremely rich? Regardless of where you fit on our country's economic scale, you and I are extremely rich, and this snowstorm can remind us of that. How many pairs of shoes did you have to choose from this morning to keep your feet warm and dry today? How long will it be between when you leave this building until you find yourself in a warm car? How likely is it that you'll sleep in a warm bed tonight after having consumed plenty of warm food? Paul said it this way to the Philippians: "Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content." Have we? "For I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And we are about to have an opportunity to be reminded of the many reasons we have to be content. Also, in the importance of trusting in God's plan, not ours. Hey, I got places to go and people to see over the next couple days. How about you? How about you? Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Do you know where I'm scheduled to be this week? the Dominican Republic, in the Caribbean. That's right. Timing is everything, my friends. To do a conference for a group of churches there. You know, I hope the Lord is smart enough to know that I need to do his work this week. And I said it that way to get your attention. Do you see how idolatrous that would sound? I hope God's smart enough not to jam up my plans to serve him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And did you notice David's point about sins of presumption? And maybe the next couple of days will help us avoid being so presumptuous. Lastly, the importance of guarding our thoughts and our words. Do you realize when you think about this, this is really an evangelistic psalm? Do you know that? It's an evangelistic psalm, and it's also an evangelistic weather opportunity, because you better believe a watching world will be on the lookout for how the so-called people of God respond to this challenge. Well, David summarized it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Friend, if you don't know the Creator, we would invite you to trust him today. This same Jesus who is orchestrating this snowstorm died on the cross for your sin and was resurrected, proving that the price he paid was acceptable to the Father. And if you've never trusted him, we would encourage you to trust him as Savior and Lord today, so you could have the kind of living relationship that we're describing and that he makes possible. If you are a follower of Christ, friends, let the heavens declare the glory of God, huh? And let the sky above proclaim his handiwork. Let's stand together for prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. We do praise you for the power of general revelation. And Father, I pray that we would not miss the display we're about to experience and enjoy together. So we praise you for that. But thank you for this book. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us written truth that helps us interpret what's going on all around us. And Lord, thank you ultimately for the pinnacle of special revelation, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who transforms our hearts if we'll allow him to, who forgives us of our sin and places us in right relationship with you so that we're prepared to handle whatever challenge might come in a supernatural way, believing we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Lord, would you help us to stand firmly on the rock that we sang about earlier today? And I pray that the way we function in our families, I pray that the way we function in our community would honor you. Lord, would you give us safety? And for people who will be traveling on these roads in our community, would you give us safety? And would you help us as a community to come together and to show our love for one another, and in many ways our love for you, by the way we care for one another during this time? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.